This is Jimmy Burns from Malvern, Ohio, and you're listening to Barbecue Central.
Start the game! Let's go!
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike your match, and... Oh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
Good evening, and welcome to the Really Big Barbecue Central Show! This is the show that talks about all things that are important to the world of barbecue and grilling. The show is originating from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame City. Bomb City, USA, Cleveland, Ohio, the barbecue capital of the North Coast. I'm your program host, Greg Rempe. Happy to have you aboard here on your Tuesday evenings, a live fire fun and provided the show, everybody. If you want to get in contact with the show or you would like to follow the show during off-show hours, here's how you do it.
You can get in touch with the show by sending an email to Greg at BBQCentralShow.com. Follow us on all the social media channels at BBQ Central Show. And be sure to subscribe to the show podcast feed on your favorite podcast platform.
Anything else you want to find out about the show can be found at the main website, TheBBQCentralShow.com. And here's what's happening in case you get the newsletter coming up in about 12 minutes from now. If you don't keep track of calendars, folks, you've missed that we've broached over into the month of March. So we're entering the end of quarter number one. And here to start us out in fine fashion, of course, the pitmaster of Killer Hogs competition team and founder, co-founder of HowToBarbecueRight.com and the associated YouTube channel, Malcolm Reed. Now, Malcolm is also entertaining some folks in the smoke shack or smoke shed or smoke area that him and Rochelle have built out. So he's not going to be in the studio. I don't know exactly what kind of sound setup he has. So if he's just going off of the computer mic, there's a good chance that it's not going to work out. I will relieve Malcolm of his duties. He will be able to go back to entertaining the folks he has in for business and entertaining. And I do have in the wings a backup guest should require from sound, but we will see how it goes with Malcolm. And if he sounds good, we'll continue. If not, I have somebody waiting in the wings just in case that I can introduce everybody to tonight. You may have seen him in the chat room or not, but Malcolm Reed coming up. And then 35 past the hour, a new quarterly guest here in 2024, the creator of AnotherPintPlease.com's website and associated social media channels, our pal Mike Lang from Dayton, Ohio. That'll close the first hour, then we'll come to the second hour. It is the first Tuesday of a month, and in the second hour, that can only mean one guy, almost 4 million strong on the YouTubes and an associated amount of gear and accoutrement to outfit your kitchen, your dressers, and whatever. Sam the cooking guy coming in for the third time this year. And then, folks, I have a bit of bad news. On the reschedule, closing the show, it was going to be Andrew Zimmern. Unfortunately, not. I have another take to get to here, so I'm not going to go on and on about this, but we might talk about it with Sam the cooking guy in the second hour because he'll have a little more time to get loose because now we don't have a closer 35 past the second hour. We tried real hard, but it didn't work out, and we'll talk about it later. So Malcolm Reed, Mike Lang, first hour, Sam the Cooking Guy, second hour. That's how the show's setting up. Don't forget, you can follow me socially, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, at BBQ Central Show. We say good evening to those of you watching tonight through one of our video streaming platforms. You can go to Facebook.com/BBQ Central Show, Twitter.com/BBQ Central Show, or over on the YouTubes, which is YouTube.com/@BBQ Central Show. We have a new YouTube poll question of the week, and we're asking everybody this, including all guests, the following. You know who Caitlin Clark is, yes or no? And currently 62% of you are saying yes. I'm trying to think in my mind if that's about right. If I thought it was going to be tipping the other way. I don't know what you folks are up to. And I'm not going to give it away, say what she does. But I'm just wondering where that name is and recognizability, especially over the last couple weeks and couple months. Results of the poll last week. The guy in this picture. Wait. Oh, I killed the picture already. The guy in this picture, who was my oldest daughter's boyfriend, football player, defensive back, and Rover, as they call him in Division II football, could beat my ass in 3 seconds, 7 seconds, or 10 seconds. 40% of you said 3 seconds. Another 40% of you said 10 seconds. And 20% of you thought I could hold out for at least 7 seconds before meeting my ultimate demise. So thank you to everybody that took part in the poll last week. And we'll bring you the results of the poll this week at the lead of the show next week. So we'll start here tonight. And for the second week in a row, this isn't what I thought I was going to be doing. If you recall, we were supposed to see a behind-the-scenes look into my studio because folks wanted to know, where's the microphone? As it's no longer in the visible shot anymore as it had been for 15 years prior. But like last week, something else has jumped the show open. And while the content is different this week, the reason for jumping the open actually remains the same. It's that damn Joe Martinez from Smokin' Joe's Pit Barbecue in El Paso, Texas. If you're not following along to any of this, let me get you up to speed. Last Tuesday, around 2 p.m. Eastern or so, Joe released a video on his YouTube channel announcing the closing of his food truck business. So I talked about it during the open of the show last week. It was shocking, surprising, at least to some of us, certainly sad. Remember, Joe left a very successful, very established career as a regional sales manager, I believe, at O'Reilly Auto Parts to chase the barbecue food trailer business dream. And he was well entrenched with O'Reilly's, 20 years or whatever, getting close to retirement. And according to the video that Joe posted, the dream was now over. Or was it? Because no less than 2 or 3 days later, there were social media posts announcing the food trailer was reopening this past Friday and Saturday to sell foods, albeit in a scaled down menu, but open nonetheless, which leads me to ask the question. What? To recap, last Tuesday afternoon, we're closed. Last Thursday, we're open. Admittedly, I'm not very smart, so this has me extremely confused as to what's really going on. If you recorded the we're closed video but had thoughts of reopening at some point, why not sit on the video until you're 100% sure, just to eliminate any confusion? Also, you post a we're closed video in Texas, no less. That's going to make its way back to Texas Monthly pretty quickly, given the accolades they have given you over the last year. Best new place, of course, as we all know. So if they follow up with you, do you say change your heart, jump the gun, or what? Because you can't stay open now and then 2 or 3 months down the road close again with posts and videos because it's not going to have the same gravitas. Now, people will hold out for hope. You've set a new standard. He's changed his mind once already. Maybe he'll do it again. What do the magazines do if this happens a second time? Here's what I'm really saying. Joe, before any further moves are made, you are required to consult with me and no one else moving forward. We can't be wishy-washy. We have to make decisions, and then we have to stick to it. Am I financially invested in your business? No. Am I related to you with blood or by marriage in any way, so you should give my thoughts on what I say is good or bad business? No. Nevertheless, it's far too clear to me and others that your pal, Greg Rempe, is the one you need to be leaning on in order to get this thing headed into the lifetime of success track. So let's agree right here, right now, that I will make all the business decisions going forward. You will reap the rewards of my smartness. After all, I invented many successful things. For instance, the word assurity. Need I say more? We will track the saga of Smoke and Joe's Pit Barbecue trailer as the weeks progress. Folks, I'm excited to announce, believe it or not, a brand new sponsor of the show, Schwank Grills. Take a look at it while I talk. What do we need to know? First and foremost, this unit heats up to 1,500 degrees using infrared burner technology. More on that in a second. What does that mean to you? Now you can grill the juiciest steaks you've ever tasted in as little as 40 minutes? No. 10 minutes? No. How about 3 minutes? No more wasting your life cooking the proteins you want. Schwank Grills does it quickly and with fabulous results. The infrared burner technology is the same tech used in the world's best steakhouses, including Morton Steakhouse, Del Frisco's, Cut 432. You ever heard of those places? Remember, at 1,500 degrees, you can build that delicious crust on both sides of the steak without overcooking it. And the steak is incredibly juicy and flavorful. There's truly nothing like this grill. In fact, some are calling it the future of grilling. The drip tray benefits? Oh yes, there's a drip tray at the bottom. To catch the drips of the meat? Sure. How about this? As the steak is cooked, as your meat is cooking, whatever it is, drop a stick of butter in the drip tray. Let that heat melt it down. Throw in some garlic, some herbs, some rub if you would like. And now you have a butter bath, almost like a board sauce, but in the drip tray. So when the steak's done cooking, immediately put it down into the drip tray. Layers of flavor, baby. That's what it's all about. And it's not only a steak cooker. No, sir. It'll handle the most robust meats, of course, but does equally as well with delicate fish. Like salmon, cooks in 3 minutes. Lobster tails, cooks in 5 minutes. Chicken breast, how about cooks in 3 minutes? Shrimps, burgers, all kinds of stuff. Adjustable three heights. You're really able to manage the heat and how intense it hits the food. Maybe in addition to the backyard? Yeah, I think so. Central Lights want a deal, so I'm going to hook you up right now. Go to schwankgrills.com, S-T-H-W-A-N-K-grills.com, and use promo code BBQCentral. BBQ Central, you can save $150 off the Schwank Grill. It's that easy to save money and enjoy restaurant quality heat. Again, schwankgrills.com and promo code BBQ Central at checkout saves you $150 off the grill. There's also a link to Schwank Grills in the show notes of this podcast, on the show newsletter that goes out every Tuesday, and on the homepage of the BBQ Central Show's website. Just click on the Schwank Grills logo in the sponsors page, and you're off and ready to go. Once again, promo code BBQ Central. That'll save you $150 off that Schwank Grill. Grab one up. Let me know how it works out. Excited. We're back with Malcolm Reed right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BBQ Central Show. Broadcasting live from the BBQ Central Show studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the BBQ Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Welcome back. This portion of the show being brought to you by CookandPellets.com, your number one source for quality wood pellets for all your pellet-driven cookers. First, go to CookandPellets.com and see what products that they offer, and then when you're ready to buy, go on over to Lowe's.com or Walmart.com or Amazon.com. Same great products, great shipping rates as well. Great folks over at CookandPellets.com. It is the first Tuesday of a month. We are getting ready to be joined by a pitmaster of Killer Hogs competition team, a co-creator of a wildly successful live fire cooking website called How to BBQ Right and an associated YouTube channel, which as of 3/1/2024 has 1.68 million YouTube subscribers. It's our pal Malcolm Reed. Hey, Malcolm.
What's up, Greg? What's happening, man?
Hey, I am happy to have you here. And so you are not in the normal How to BBQ Right studios. So where are we finding you this fine evening?
I'm down hanging out at my smokehouse, man. I've got some people in town and looking at a new grill and just having a good time today.
Is it a secret new grill or a grill you can spill the beans on here on the show? Should I be playing breaking news?
I mean, it's a Primo XXL. I don't know. You may be aware of it. They're coming out with a new one. Yep. It's new to me. First time I've seen it.
Yeah. So I saw the XXL at the Louisville HPB Expo a year ago. It was almost a year ago. From last year to this year, they've revamped it again.
I wasn't aware that they had it a year ago, man. I wasn't at that show, but yeah, to me, I think they have been working on it for a minute, but it's just a bigger version of the XL Primo. And you know, I like my ceramic grills. I like that oval shape, man.
I think it was, I want to say 25% to 35% bigger than the XL. So when I tell people to buy Primo, I'm like, you know, nobody's ever complained about buying. Nobody's ever said my grill's too big, but I've heard plenty of people say, I wish I would have bought the next size up or the next two sizes up, because you get lost. You get narrow sight in dollars at the point of purchase. But then when you get it home, you're like, well, if I would have spent another $600 or $800, I could have had twice the size. I'd be a much happier human being. But in the moment, you get short-sighted. So I think XL is good. What do you think about XXL?
Well, so they haven't I've seen it wrapped up, and they're not going to unwrap it till tomorrow for me. Oh. So I really hadn't seen it with my own eyes. But I did see the brochure, and you know, with the other rack in it, it has like 850 square inches of cook space. That's a pretty good bit of space for a grill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's got to be, you know, I'm expecting it to be much larger than the XL that I have right now.
Unquestionably, it's going to be bigger. I'm assuming since they're leaving it wrapped and they're not letting you put eyeballs on it directly, that they've made some changes in some form or fashion over what I saw last year, because that was a big piece for Primo to unveil at the HPB Expo, was the double XL, which... it was huge. I mean, to see a ceramic cooker that big, it's like when you see that huge big green egg. I mean, they almost look cartoonish to a certain degree. And this one is certainly much bigger. I prefer my ceramic cookers to be in the color black. And like you, I also prefer them to be in the oval shape. I mean, you've cooked on the Primo a number of times. Do you believe that true two-zone cooking capability can be achieved in this cooker?
Well, I just did a rib recipe last week on the XL, and I was, you know, I started them out over on the cool side, then I ended up charring them and all that. I put my deflectors in and all that. So I think you can. Without the heat deflector, it is more challenging with just putting a divider in there for the charcoal. But when you add coals on one side and you have the divider and you put your heat deflectors in, it's pretty close to two-zone cooking. I mean, you definitely slow it down. I mean, that's always been my hang-up with ceramic grills, is they want to run, man. They don't like to operate low and slow temps.
Yeah.
And so it's harder to choke them back. But when you have that much space and you can add the divider and the heat deflectors, it really does check it back.
Do you have the Primo guys like in the smokehouse right now?
They're somewhere around here.
Are they really?
I snuck over here to kind of take a break. I told them I had to go do the Rippy show. So they were like, tell Greg, we said what's up. So well, Mike says what's up.
I appreciate that. So let's do this. I don't want to keep you from business. So I'm going to turn you loose here right now. You go ahead and entertain those guys from Primo the only way that Malcolm Reed knows how to do. And then we'll get a recap of that and your initial thoughts on XXL when we rejoin in April.
Hey, that sounds good, man. I'll give you a full report on what I think about it here next month.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it, Malcolm.
All right, brother. All right. Take it easy, Greg.
Malcolm Reed right there. There were people, there was real business going on, for crying out loud. Wow. Still found a way to duck off and jump in the show for a little bit. Not in the normal setup, which I certainly appreciate. So, my guy that's waiting in the wings, if you want to jump on real quick, we can backfill a few moments. Talk about a few other things. By the way, oh, I didn't ask Malcolm if he knew who Caitlin Clark was. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Malcolm knows who Caitlin Clark is. 63% of you are saying you know who Caitlin Clark is, so a 1% tick in the positive rate. 37% of you do not know who Caitlin Clark is, and as I said, I'm not going to mention who she is. Don't Google it before you answer if you don't know right off the bat. Polls are best. These polls are best done blindly. You either know or you don't. Answer properly. Good to see Johnny Mags in chat here this evening. Ah, there's Mr. Controversy himself. Smoking Joe's Pit Barbecue, the guy that makes me confused more than I normally am. So, yeah, Matt, jump in if you're ready to go here. You see me in the YouTube and we'll... Hey, there he is. All right, joining me for the first time. Somebody I'm... titling for now, the embedded correspondent for both Memphis and May and Smoke Slam, and the owner of Blinky's Offset Barbecue, Matt Osmond. Hey, Matt.
What's going on, Greg? How are you?
I am fabulous. Appreciate you joining me here for these 10, 11 minutes. And before we jump into a little bit of how we might be using you here over the next few months. A little background on you professionally, live-firally. By the way, live-firally, before anybody says, not a word. Not a word, I just made it up. Tell us about that background.
So Blinky's Offset Barbecue kind of started back in 2019 when I started taking barbecue more seriously. I was all the normal traditional stuff. I've told the story before, but just to recap, I got into smoking. I used to grill all the time, like full-on grill master type. Got into smoking because my wife is from Texas, and she longed for brisket. And I looked at it like a giant piece of steak. Knew about indirect heat, etc. Took that brisket, that first one I did, up to a nice ripe 170, and nice. I thought I overshot it.
Well done.
I
mean,
I cut into it anyway, gnawed on a little bit of it and proudly served her a plate of it. And she looked at me with loving eyes and said, that's not it. So as a way to make up for it, dug deeper, hit the YouTubes, obviously stuff from Malcolm, several other folks, and finally got it. I remember my very first pork butt that was pull apart tender. And it was that aha moment. Barbecue for friends, barbecue for others, and a couple people started paying for it. At the time, I was working for Cracker Barrel. I've had a long history in hospitality, food and beverage, and I decided to make the leap. So going at it food truck style. I'm kind of a hybrid. I call myself a barbecue joint, in that I have my barbecue food truck trailer, but I serve out of a stationary trailer 4 days a week. It's at a driving range here in Bellevue, Tennessee, and that's kind of the long and short of it.
Born and raised Tennessean?
Miami, Florida. All about the U, baby.
Ah, the U. All right. What? How do you get up to Tennessee? Gal take you?
No, not necessarily. I'm also on record for saying this. I was tired of going to jail. Let's put it like that.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Because
you don't go to jail when you move out of Florida?
That's not exactly true either, but just at a lower rate. And then ultimately, yes, not in jail anymore. But no, I was just dwindling.
Like, what do you go to jail for? Are you like stealing stuff? Are you assaulting? All of that?
Trespassing. Yeah. There might be some drinking and driving.
Yeah.
You know, some
rumors.
Young, dumb, yeah, kid stuff.
Yeah.
It's not public record or anything.
Right.
But I needed to slow down. So I have lots of family who's been in here in Nashville, came up for several holidays and birthdays, whatnot. I'm the youngest of four siblings. So all of them went to college in Middle Tennessee and decided to kind of follow. Because it was basically at this point, map of the world, Dart, Nashville, Tennessee, or other. Hmm. So I opted to go with the safety net.
Well, I mean, Nashville, if we're talking about Nashville, Nashville is like one of the greatest cities. I've been through it once and had a great time for a sales conference for work many, many years ago. So I'm sure it's even gotten better than that. But at that point, it was a wonderful thing. Lots to do there. Lots of great restaurants. You could certainly find your way into trouble if you wanted to, but you could certainly stay out of trouble if you wanted to as well. How do you get into or find an interest in the competition side of things, which is how we're going to be using you here over the next handful of months?
So much like everybody else, when you get into barbecue and the algorithms, the internet, you end up basically at a point where competition seeps its way into your feed, or you start looking for these events. And I ended up, my actual first one was a request from a buddy of mine. It was an event called Barbecue and Red Shoes. And I was the cook, because he's like, hey, man, you cook pretty good barbecue. I need you to help us out. And these guys don't want to do it, and on and on. So I said, okay. I mean, when people say the story about bringing the kitchen sink, dude, I had like over 45 different rubs and spices. I mean, I brought everything to that first comp. I'll fast forward it. First place chicken, second place ribs, and second overall. So
hook line.
I mean, who is it? Is it Heath or something? Asked the question, like, you know, how much did that first bowling trophy cost you, or whatever it is? And yeah, it's a lot of money. Fast forward from there, the second one, again, small backyard, about 15 teams, GC'd it. So just further cement, kind of been chasing that ever since. But I've got a little bit of hardware. So
in Tennessee, Memphis specifically, huge contest has been going on for, I don't know, 40 years, 50 years, or early 80s, maybe late 70s, Memphis in May. That one has took a lot of things going on with Memphis in May. So move out of Tom Lee Park last year, going back to Liberty Park where it was 2 years ago, under a whole bunch of, was the damage bill done on purpose to get Memphis in May out? All of a sudden, there's a new event in Memphis called Smoke Slam that magically is there to backfill a now vacant Tom Lee Park on the same weekend. You have no experience with Smoke Slam. Nobody does yet. You have a lot of experience with Memphis in May. Your opinion, where do you think that competition sits right now amongst the other majors?
I think it's gunning. I liken it to kind of like a NASCAR race where, you know, it's sort of the final laps and you have the leader and you usually have a second or third car that's coming up. I think it's there. I've had, ever since the announcement, like everybody else, lots of sidebar conversations with lots of rule number one,
No names, please.
Lots of people. So it's my understanding that SmokeSlam is seeking reciprocity with the Jack. It's my understanding that there's conversation with the Royal, and that's all that I've heard so far. Now, yet to be confirmed. I think it's going to be a great competition. I think the money is a no-brainer. If Memphis and May is always going to be there because Memphis and May is safe, because the financials don't say anything else, okay, why not, as you have said, as others have decided, why not go be a part of the first brand new big money competition? Memphis and May will always be there. The Jack will always be there to, you know, either auto in or get the Jack draw. Kansas City, you can participate in the open. This one's a special one. And 50K to the winner, talking big money.
Do you have you competed in Memphis and May?
I have, both as myself as a team and then with a cook team.
Are you going to be competing in SmokeSlam, or did you apply to compete in SmokeSlam?
So I'll be part of Old Booger Bear, and I'll be a part of that cook team. They're an NBN team. They placed very well at the awards just a couple days ago. And Jack Barton, David Taylor, as the pitmasters, have given me an opportunity to be a part of the team. So we will be there cooking SmokeSlam.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your excitement level cooking this event? Do you think this was all a setup? Do you think the bill was the final death nail in Memphis and May getting them out of there? And at least for the last 2 or 3 years, this is a snowball that's been building, running downhill, and now we're here.
My personal Matt Osmond, Blinky's Offset Barbecue opinion, it has to be. There's I don't live in Memphis. I've been there tons of times being in Nashville. There's a lot of bad blood. A lot of people, what do they call it? Booty hurt because of this or that. Somebody called somebody's wife fat or ugly, whatever it is, man. Exactly. And I think somebody finally took the money and said, I'll show you, you know, it's going to be something. And if not, guess what? Then all the more reason, if this contest doesn't go a second year, if the 10-year deal is just a bloop, go stake your chance right now this year, because this could be the only one.
We have a YouTube poll question of the week that I didn't ask you about. We're asking everybody this, and I didn't ask Malcolm either, but I'm going to be 50% good on it here in the first guest segment. You know who Caitlin Clark is, yes or no?
Yes, I do.
61% of people know who Caitlin Clark is, so it's down 2 percentage points since we've even just started talking here this evening. 39% of people have no idea who she is, and we're not saying, we're just mentioning a name, Caitlin Clark, and we're saying don't Google it, just answer truthfully right off the top of your head. Nobody likes a cheater. Matt, what are you promoting here before I let you go here this evening? Anything coming up we would want to be on the lookout for?
As far as me, not necessarily. I'm selling barbecue in Bellevue 4 days a week. We do have a big competition coming up here, Smoke on the Shores. Going to be a 100 team for KCBS Pro. Jason Cole and others has a list of sponsors. Terrific cause. Blinky's Offset Barbecue will be there competing. The 15th and 16th, I think it is. And, you know, I'll spritz in lots of other comps, but it's a business comp, you know, back and forth. So, but no, just happy to be a part of the show. I appreciate the opportunity, and look forward to making some headlines for you both at SmokeSlam, because I will also be at Memphis in May. I'll be there with Good Charcoal, sponsor team, for them. So I'll be helping them out with the Memphis and May displays.
All right. So as you get reports, make sure that you get them out to me. And if it makes sense to have you on to do them live, otherwise we'll just disseminate like news. But appreciate you and your embeddedness there in that part of Tennessee. We look forward to your next visit. Thanks, Matt.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Red.
Pat Osmond right there. Jumping in for the back half of that first interview segment, which we certainly appreciate. Appreciate Malcolm Reed ghosting our pals over at Primo for just a hot second to jump in, but I couldn't, in good faith, let him sit there for another 12 minutes. Who knows what they're doing? Milling around Malcolm's smokehouse. Mike Lang is ready to go. Excited to talk to him. We'll do that right after we talk about our pals over at Pits and Spits. Let me ask you something. Are you tired of settling for mediocre grilling experiences? Yes, of course. It's time to step your game up. Why did that not play? We'll have to review that later. Bring the ultimate flavor and cooker to the backyard barbecues. Pits and Spits charcoal grills offering the highest quality live fire cooking experience you can get in the market today. Using either wood or charcoal, their solid fuel grills produce those classic flavors you're looking for when you have the time to fire up the grill and cook for family and friends. With a large adjustable fuel tray, you can raise and lower the fire to control and fine-tune the heat. Their take on the very popular Santa Maria style grill. Check them out online, pitsandspits.com/BBQ Central. That's pitsandspits.com/BBQ Central, all spelled out. And remember, it's the double T on the Pits and the Spits. Use promo code Charcoal Central for $150 off any charcoal grill. That's a theme here tonight. Schwank Grills, BBQ Central for $150 off. Pits and Spits for their charcoal grills. Charcoal Central, all one word, for $150 off any charcoal grill. The savings are plentiful here on this show. What more do you want? Okay, you want me to talk with Mike Lang? We'll do it next. Stick around.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Howard Stern, Jim Rome, Dan Patrick, and Greg Rampey. The Mountain Rushmore of talk show entertainment. Now, let's get back to the Barbecue Central Show.
We thank Malcolm Reed and we thank Matt Osmond for joining me last segment. This portion of the show being brought to you by Fireboard 2, Fireboard 2 Drive, and Fireboard Pro. Monitor up to 6 different temperatures simultaneously. Connect to Wi-Fi for cloud-based monitoring or connect via Bluetooth. If you have those smart speakers in your house, Fireboard is probably integrated with all of those. Fireboard.com to purchase. Call with questions, 816-945-2232. My next guest is back for quarterly segments here in 2024. If you follow him on social media or visit his website, you're typically delighted by his recipe creation and also his photography and videography skills. Brandwise, continuing his association with industry leader Weber Grills. Did I mention he wrote a book called One Beer Grilling and also an inaugural member of the Barbecue Central Show's Guest Hall of Fame back in 2018, if you can believe it. We are happy to welcome back our pal Mike Lang. Mike, we have a YouTube poll question of the week that I'm not going to forget to ask you right off the top. We're asking everybody this and all guests. You know who Caitlin Clark is, yes or no?
As a proud Purdue Boilermaker, yes.
I can't say what I want to say because then we're going to give it all away. Was it 80 degrees in Dayton today, Mike?
No, it dropped back down to the 50s. It was kind of chilly out, actually.
Yeah. Oh, was?
Sadly. Yeah. I was not impressed after the 70 from yesterday.
I was headed to Canton, Ohio for some Peterbilt business around, I think I got down to 130. It was 74 degrees in Canton. Football Hall of Fame, believe it or not. So tomorrow's going to be a little cooler. You there, Mike? No, Mike's gone. I knew it. He kept holding that face. Oh, I'm now you're back. Okay, good. He's back again.
Never fails.
I was like, he is just holding that smile like he does not care what I'm saying at all. But you weren't there. I picked up on it eventually. All right. So you know who Caitlin Clark is. 62% of voting YouTube public knows who Caitlin Clark is. 50% of the embedded correspondents last week during our embedded correspondence segment, Doug and I, thought that the Weber CES deal was worthy of a descriptor bitch move. Call it whatever you want. As somebody who is not employed directly by Weber, but somebody who has worked with Weber for decades, it seems like, you have any take on that?
Well, let me first say this, of course, is my own opinion. And actually, I've not even talked to anybody at Weber about this. But I actually
I'm
think
sure they don't want to talk about it at all.
Well, no, you know what? You make it sound like they put a pop-up tent in the parking lot of the Wynn and said they were at CES. And that is exactly what didn't happen.
Right.
And it's funny because my understanding from the event comes from reading, you know, I'm a self-identified geek. So I read a lot of tech journalism. I followed CES for a long, long time. And my best take on what happened actually came from European tech journalists. And Weber was 30 miles away from the Las Vegas Strip at a ranch. Now, if you think back to years past when they've been at CES, where have they been? In a parking lot of the Las Vegas Convention Center. And what does that have to do with enjoying the true ambiance of live fire cooking? And I argue nothing. However, you set up in an idealistic place at night and serve dinner and talk about your new products and create a true environment, you know, that's taking advantage of a wonderful opportunity. And that's having these tech journalists in town for an event, and you're holding an event at night that is nowhere close to where the event actually is. So, and truly grilling, although there's technology in it, it's more than just simply plugging something in and booting something up. And I think they actually played it really quite well.
But these were journalists that were covering CES.
Yeah.
I win. All right, next question. One, you've done recipes all over the place. Here's one that I see it cyclically, and it's not even multiple times a year. It's like once every so often, a couple years. And it's, I've seen it in a number of fashions. It's one pot. It's one skillet. It's one tray, a baking sheet, whatever, but it's everything is going in one vessel and then you're cooking it. You recently did a whole chicken. Was it in the cast iron skillet?
Yeah, cast iron skillet. Yeah.
What was the, did you just feel this needed to be brought back? And why isn't it something, I don't feel like this is something that is done nearly as often as it should be doing, especially if you're in any type of family size. This is something that you could then feed off of for a day or two after.
Yeah, and really that was 2 points. Number one, it was a different way of doing a whole chicken. You know, there's usually, you know, you can do beer can chicken or you can roast a chicken. But the idea of putting it into an actual cast iron skillet and then adding more vegetables to it, making it sort of a true one pot dish appealed to me. But also simply, like you said, the time-saving factor. You know, I'm the worst offender when it comes to making dinner or shooting something, is I'm making everything dirty, everything a mess. And sometimes you want to recalibrate and say, okay, well, how can I do this a lot easier? You know, tonight for dinner, I use 2 pots and it makes it really, truly made an easier night. And sometimes it's not about the flash of everything, but it's making it approachable and convenient and easy. And that's what makes life better. And that tasted pretty good too.
Do you think people get nervous about putting all ingredients in then something that has chicken in it, or no?
Well, it's not like you're a raw chicken eating guy. I mean, my goodness, if you can cook a whole large protein like a chicken, you're only going to add flavor to things like potatoes and root vegetables because they're going to soak up all that rendered chicken fat. So really it's a win-win. It's delicious.
In the not too distant future, a protector of human beings is going to be calling it a career. We're talking about you, by the way. So as retirement is looming here sooner than later, have you given much thought or all the thought to what's going to be happening post-retirement? Because I've talked to a lot of folks, I'm not near retirement age, unfortunately, or have years of service in to allow me to retire at an earlier age than normal retirement age. they don't have a good game plan going in, so they retire, and then by like Thursday the next week, I got to get back to work. I made a mistake. What's the game plan for a Mike Lang retiring out of public safety?
Yeah, for me, it's leaning into what I love to do, and that's to create content. You know, I'll have 32 years in the city, 28 years in uniform, and, you know, sadly, a lot of guys hold on to when they retire. Finally, they pass away. They die. It's horrible, and I'm young. I can retire, but it's not retire. It's simply a matter of pivoting and changing positions. I've always held at least two or three jobs my entire adult life, so I'm looking forward to holding down one, and I'm sitting here in the middle of my grilling studio. It's, you know, 2,500 square feet inside and out, and I just want to dig into creating content. I miss taking pictures. I miss doing things for myself, and I really want to get back to that, and it's, you know, less than, what, 2.5 months away, and I cannot tell you how excited I am.
Does this open, I think a lot of people will look at your social media. I mean, who knows anybody from social media? You look at it, you're like, oh, this guy's life. So people will look at Mike Lang's Another Pint Please Instagram account and go, Mike's a full-time videographer, picture taker, content creator, but you're not. You have a real full-time job that you've been doing, as you said, for 30 years in various forms and fashions. So going into retirement, taking this pivot, you want to lean into cooking and recipe creation stuff even more, but people probably think you're already doing it. How much more can you take on, or how much more do you want to take on from somebody else that isn't a Mike Lang driven project?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, actually. A lot. You know, I give so much to Weber, and I love that relationship, and I plan on doing more with them, and I turn some other stuff away. But, you know, even like setting up for tonight, I put lights up and set up the studio, not because I have to, but because I love that joy of creation. So having that ability to totally be fluid with all that, say, extra free time, let's be real, I'll be like, oh, where'd all that time go? It's exciting, and it truly triggers something in me. You know, I just miss, it's so funny, you know, you think back, we've been friends for well over a decade.
Yeah.
And I miss nights back before social media where I would have a ribeye Friday, and I always laughed about it because I would make a ribeye steak on a Friday. I would drag out my camera, take a picture of it. And that is something such in the past, partially diminished by the quality of a, you know, an iPhone camera or an Android. But also the time just to go out and concentrate on a still image and to create something beautiful and wait for that light to be just right. And I want more days like that. And I think they're coming.
So will you have to make sure that you are giving proper attention to what Mike Lang wants to do, and then also figure out what the right amount of contract work is going to be? I can see an instance where, since Weber is a big client of yours, they're like, oh, hey, Mike, you're freed up. We got a new full-time job for you. It's called, you're going to do all this shit for us that we've been keeping in the hopper for you, and now you're free, so boom. And you probably don't want to, you know, jump into that. So how do you plan on weighing what's important to Mike?
That's a good question. I have a hard time saying no, as you can probably guess by all the hats that I wear and things that I do. But as long as I've got an outlet for me, which is something I've really put on the back burner for a really, really long time, I'll be fine. You know, I want that constant buzz of being busy. I can't sit still. It kills my soul to not be doing something and moving forward. So I'll find the right balance for it. But man, I love to create stuff. I'm happy to, you know, I'm proud of what I've done for the last, you know, almost three decades. And the impact I feel that I've made, but I'm ready just to do, you know, be Mike the guy that grills stuff and people recognize me for that, not for all the bad stuff in the world. It's going to be a fun transition.
Will you go out in search of stuff that Mike Lang can be a part of, and it's just you, and it has nothing else to do with any other brands? Do you want to lean into you more?
Yeah, I do. And it will be me. My goal is on a weekly basis to do a long form video. And that's where that one skillet chicken came from. And before that, I did a flank steak, is when I actually had some downtime around the COVID area, like everybody else. And I was like, I want to do this. But the cool thing about it was I did it, then that generated more work. But I really want to have that outlet for me and what Mike is doing, and also lean into a little bit of the instructional side in terms of taking pictures and my video workflow and everything that I've done. You know, it's amazing when I go back, and for Weber, hundreds of videos in the last, especially in the last 5 years, as video has taken reign supreme. And some of our best performing work, and I say we because it truly is a team. The social team and marketing, you know, gives me great ideas, and then I riff on them and do things with them. But we've had tens of millions of views in what we've been able to do. So it's all exciting and all works well together, but I'm looking forward to getting up in the morning and making lunch and grabbing my camera and just looking for that perfect light, that little wisp of smoke, and taking a picture and posting it and not worrying about anything else.
I talked to Wes Wright last month about some of the new products that Weber was unveiling. As somebody who's had hands on, what do you think the best improvements of this new pellet cooker they're bringing out is going to be versus the smoke fire that was originally out?
My honest answer, I have no idea because I've not actually cooked on it yet. So I can't speak truthfully to it. But I will say from everyone that I've talked to, it's truly a game changer. And, you know, they led their way with a smoke fire. And there, of course, is always a stumbling block here and there, but still a great cooker. And for those that have truly leaned into it, absolutely love it. I still enjoy cooking on it. I mean, there are times when that is the device to go to. You know, you turn it on, you put the pellets, and you're cooking dinner outside. And it's not just what you're making and what the end product is. Don't forget, when we talk about live fire cooking, it is the environment, it is the atmosphere, it is getting outside and breathing fresh outdoor air that makes all of us better and gives all of us more of a drive to do things. And that's all part and parcel. So the long rambling answer is, I hear it's fantastic. I should have it here shortly to create stuff for it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have any of the new stuff then, or no?
It's trickling in. The UPS drivers and FedEx guys and the freight delivery drivers are learning us out here in the country of dropping things off. So, the new the portable traveler griddles have shown up. I'll be creating content for those shortly. And, of course, the Genesis and the Searwood and a few other things I'm forgetting about. Yeah, it's all coming, and we're super excited about it.
Some
great progress.
Are they sending you a Summit Smart gas grill?
That'll be later on this summer.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's basically a small, if you can look around, it's a small warehouse out here of Weber product, and I love it.
What food video or food recipes are you working on right now?
Right now, St. Patrick's Day is coming up on tap, so I've been working very hard. If you remember the years past, Little Leprechaun Mike has made appearances the last 2 years. A little bit of magic of blue screen, because, of course, the leprechaun's green. You can't do that like you're doing the television weather.
Yep.
He'll be making an appearance in his miniaturized form, but also just some really basic ribeyes with a Guinness onion mushroom gravy. It is divine, and that will be popping up by St. Patrick's Day very soon.
What's the number one key to make a good corned beef?
Oh, brine your own meat.
Don't buy the pack.
It's funny. Actually, today I was, it's funny you mentioned that. We didn't even talk about this. I was actually looking today. I was at Kroger grabbing some stuff for dinner, and I was looking for a flat to come home and corn and then turn into, I was going to make pastrami. Do it yourself. Don't forego the chemical route. It's not difficult. Maybe a bigger piece of meat because you may have to, you know, have an eight pound flat, but yeah, do it yourself.
Is it just time?
Yeah, it's time. In fact, I had in the blogging days, and you need to take pictures and write about stuff. I have to go back and influence myself because I forget how I did half of this shit. Yeah. I go, I did a post about that 5-6 years ago and took pictures and step by step, and I make my own notes on my own notes. But yeah, it just takes time. It's all it does. You figure 5-ish days of corning and then pop it out and throw it in the smoker. And or if you're going to make a corned beef, go for the water bath. But yeah, that's great.
If given your choice, though, you're a pastrami guy all day long, or are you equal between the two?
I can go both ways. Pastrami, I prefer more. Hmm.
Have you by chance found a new cigar that is your favorite? Or are you still Oliva Siri V Melanio guy?
You know the answer to this question.
Gee, I'm trying to give you some new stuff to try. You're always going back.
Every time you post a picture, I'm always like, I should write that down. You know, the Perdomos you recommended have been fantastic. But once again, well, it's funny. This has been a year of, you know, getting old and getting sick. Every time I want to smoke a cigar, I got some kind of cough or ailment. I go, I probably shouldn't do that. I'd like to branch out more. Maybe that's another, you know, retirement leaf I'll turn over here come the end of May.
Did we have a better answer for you? Did we have the Aladino Corojo Reserva at the fair? At the fair.
At Hartville?
Grill Fest? Yeah.
At the fair. We were in the,
at the fair.
Fast wheel together. Yeah, I think we did. It sounds familiar. I know it was a new one that you had, you really had glommed onto. Yeah. So.
So that's my, that's like 1A. So if, I'm going to talk like I got money here. So those aren't overly crazy cigars. So I think a box of, it's 20 or 24, it's like 200. Don't quote me on this. Go to the website and confirm me. But it's like 225, 230 bucks for Aladino Corojo Reserve. Special cigar, you know, plus $10 a stick. There's a new one that I've fallen in love with. This would be classified more as a value cigar. The Cigar Authority podcast that I listened to rated it as their cigar of the year for last year. It's called the McAuliffe Black. I thought I sent you a couple samples of those, but I'll have to do that next week or later in the week so you have some. I mean, $7 for a Robusto, $8 for a Toro. They only come in those two sizes. And then if you buy by the box, it goes less than that. These things are unbelievable. Sweet, great smoke, great Nicaraguan flavor profile. So I'll have to give you a couple of those, and maybe we'll get you into the mood for a new cigar here. As a favorite beer at the moment.
I promise. Oh, my gosh. Branch and Bone, another great local Dayton brewery. Cruise Your Illusion. It's a hazy IPA with some West Coast hints. It's fantastic. There's so many good breweries. It's hard to choose. It's what I've got. So it's, I love it.
If you don't follow Mike on Instagram, follow him for nothing else. Then as the weekend arrives, he ends up at these great classy, or what appears to be classy because he takes those great pics, drinking holes, watering holes. The cocktails look great. I mean, I'm always inspired to pick up drinking every weekend again as I watch where you go and see these great beers and great craft cocktails. So if you're somebody that's into that, definitely worth a follow. If for nothing else, aside from all the other cool stuff. Mike Lang is a quarterly guest here on the show. You find him at AnotherPintPlease.com and the associated social media channels. Mike, always appreciate the time, and we'll see you next quarter.
Take care, Greg. Thanks so much.
You got it. Mike Lang, right there. Bang up job as always, keeping us right on time as always, which we certainly appreciate. And if you aren't following him, again, Another Pint Please, just go to AnotherPintPlease.com. Find the associated social media channels there. Link up, follow along. Lots of great food. The other thing I really like, I think it's over the weekend, he does this thing called Trisket Time, where he's eating dinner with his family, and his dad cooks steak every week. Walks out to the Weber Summit. Typically, it's fillets. I've seen some other stuff. And his dad nails it each and every time. Love watching that stuff. All right, let's wrap up the first hour. You stick around, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Continuing to produce incredibly mediocre content in an exceptionally professional way. You're listening and watching the Barbecue Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rampe.
All right, welcome back, and we thank Mike Lang from Another Pint Please joining us this past segment. AnotherPintPlease.com is website. Instagram, Another Pint Please. In my opinion, that's the best place to follow him, but you do what you want to do. Before Mike Lang, we had Matt Osmond making his debut appearance on this show. Although we've been interacting for quite some time, direct messaging through Instagram. I think if Matt stays on the track that he's on, I might actually give him my phone number and allow him to text message me. We're going to hold off on that yet. Matt, still just Instagram direct messages for now. And then, of course, Malcolm Reed led the show where he snuck away from some of the Primo reps that were there. So I turned him loose after a handful of minutes and brought Matt on, and away we went. Stick around for the second hour. We'll be right back.